Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Been a gorgeous day, and not a bad day to be outside doing whatever you need to do. I had to do some yard work today, and yeah, it's a little warm, but really, really nice weather. It's humid enough, but it is not terribly humid. I have seen a lot of folks out and about. Just walking, riding bikes. It's really nice weather. So hope everybody enjoying that. And if you can, take advantage. Welcome into the Wednesday Drive. The regular grouping here in the studio today, Bill and Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us here in hour number one, and Drew's back at the controls. So everything is as it should be here in the studio. We'd love for you to join in as we head on through the show. You can call us on The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and that's sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on The Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to espnau.com and use the podcast center. Big shout out to Southeastern Industrial Contractors, as always.
As we get underway here on the Wednesday, let's welcome in Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. JC, how you doing?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Doing fine. Doing fine. The first time we've had you on since Saturday, the starting debut for Hank Brown, and I thought,
how about this?
Well done by the young man.
I thought your scouting report from last week's show, because if you remember, I think it was the last segment we got to talk with you a week ago.
Yeah.
It was still up in the air. Clearly Hugh Freeze had made a decision, but it was up in the air as to what Auburn was going to do at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I asked you, I think we all thought, if you go back to Wednesday's show, maybe you were sort of advocating for Hank Brown to play. Yeah.
I thought if you wanted to see Hank Brown and you wanted to know exactly what to expect, go ahead and start him.
Sure, but with the possibility that Peyton was going to start, maybe even the likelihood that Peyton was going to start a week ago Wednesday, we asked you, what should folks expect if Auburn goes to Hank Brown? What do you know about him as a player? What have you seen from him, and what are you expecting if he gets the nod over Peyton? And I thought your assessment was pretty accurate, and I would ask, what's changed after one game now that you've seen Hank Brown play some high leverage first team against first team, even against New Mexico, which people will point out is near the bottom in a lot of important mm-hmm. statistics in the bowl subdivision defensively. What did you think how Hank Brown did?
Yeah, I talked to a couple of folks. Asked Hugh Freeze Monday after we got done, and really solid was the word I got back, and that's what I thought too. I thought it was really solid. Obviously, you're going to face much better competition moving forward. I thought one of the big parts of the game, though, was that it wasn't 21-0 in the first quarter. That it was still like, these are some meaningful possessions even into the second half. I thought that was important because you had to go, okay, you got to go execute. You can't take this off.
It was just a 4-point game.
Yeah, correct. And we know, here's the things. Hank is the best deep ball thrower they have, and we saw that with an absolute dime to Keandre Lambert-Smith. He's the best deep ball thrower they had. I thought the most important part of it, I talked about it last week, how do you play within the framework of the offense? And I thought we saw that. We saw him checking down to receivers, a check down to Jarquez Hunter for a touchdown. I thought some of those plays were the most important plays of the game to me. And it's one of those things where I talked to a couple of folks, and they said, look, honestly, him being the way he is, like, you can tell that guy is very low heart rate guy. Nothing really impacts him. Can you get to the level you need to get to when you have to have the next step? That's what we'll see. I think he's got it. It's great to be able to sit and relax and be poised, but you're also at times going to have to go make some plays. Mm-hmm. And I think he can do it. I don't think it's going to be with his legs, but I don't think you have to have that guy. Can you maneuver enough in the pocket to find your receivers and get the ball out to the other guys? I think he can do those things. The biggest thing that probably got overlooked this week was something Hugh Freeze said. Said he was 100% in run checks. That's a big deal to be the right when you're checking runs. And it, obviously it's going to be much different. He said it. Yeah, it'll be a much different challenge this week because my guess is that they're fixing to see a ton of pressure. And I mean a ton of pressure. Travis Williams is a guy that likes to blitz anyway. I would guess that they're going to bring the house at Hank Brown and run blitz early downs to try to force them into third and long situations. I know it's going to be uncomfortable for folks. My guess is that you're going to see Auburn throw the ball a lot early because the numbers are going to say you better throw it because they're going to try to take the ball out of Jarquez Hunter's hands.
Sure.
And make Hank Brown and those wide receivers beat him.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense that what they would do. So,
the question would be if Auburn converts early a couple of times. If that happens,
yeah, no, you. That's it. That's exactly why you do it. Yes, you can force them. And now you want to dictate, and that's the thing. Now you're still going to have to run it at times. And if it's third and one, and you go, hey, no matter how many it is, you're going to run it sooner or later. But you want to be able to dictate as an offense what the defense does and not vice versa. And so the numbers tell you, hey, this is a throwing situation. You've got weapons outside, and it doesn't have to be deep ball one-on-one. Do I think we'll see some of those? I do, because this is a press man defense. You're going to have some of those one-on-one situations down the field. So it'd be interesting, yeah, early on to see how the response is, what Auburn's protection's like. Some of the things there, but I think it's going to be a really good chess match.
It would have been tempting too for Hank, I think, to or a quarterback in Hank's position. I shouldn't say Hank Brown specifically. It would have been easy for a quarterback in Hank's position Saturday night to play it extremely safe between the weather and the opponent. And you know, I think that if he'd wanted to consistently go to check down options and keep the ball from you know, limit the downfield attempts and try to play it relatively safe. It would have been understandable. That's not what he did against New Mexico. I thought that a couple of the and we've seen him throw downfield before, but I thought the play to Sam Jackson is one of the sharper. Like that's a veteran QB.
Recognizing a guy down there, not you know taking the first option. Yeah, which he could have.
You're right. There was a couple of he checked back to Keandre Lambert Smith one time too on his other catch where he came back across the field and found him open on Auburn's sidelines for 18-20 yard gain, something like that.
Feels like a check down to Jarquez on the touchdown.
Yeah, correct.
I think that seemed like a play where he was looking downfield.
I think Jarquez is looking. Hey, do I need to help in here? And as soon as he realized he didn't, he slips out. And Hank Brown finds him. Yeah, those are the types of plays that I think you have to make. Almost extended handoff plays. Those are the gimmies that an offense has to have to keep the chains moving. Did a good job of that last week, and you'll have to do some of those things again against Arkansas.
And talking to him yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
I mean, he is. He's a pretty laid back dude.
He is that, and that's where I was talking about kind of that low, that low heart rate.
Yeah.
It looks that way on the field where you're just like, and that comes from, I think, preparation. You know, we talked to, Nathan talked to Trent Dilfer last year, I think, about Hank Brown, and he's talking about how, look, he's going to know the offense inside and out. That showed up to me Saturday because he hadn't had to do that in a pressure situation, but he came in understanding. Okay, here's what I do, I think now you're able to tailor what you're doing more to him. Even though Hugh Freeze said, "Hey, he knew on Monday last week that it was going to be Hank Brown," they still split some reps. But I think they already knew where they were headed. He did anyway. This week you get to go. Okay, what do you like here? What do you like here? All right, what do you like in this situation? They get to do some of those things specifically for him. And I think that'll be beneficial as you head into SEC play.
Now the question is, I mean, who all does he have? Is Cam Coleman back? He was practicing in a
yellow jersey,
which is no contact yesterday.
Yeah, but I would guess that we'll see Cam Coleman unless there's a setback this week. I think this is just, hey, don't fall down on that shoulder, stay upright. But he was catching passes, doing those things. I would guess we'll see him. Too Tall was back out there in a blue jersey, and really good news. Yeah. I think, you know, how much is he able to do? Is he fully go this weekend? And then, you know, obviously you move then Dylan Wade back to left tackle. Percy Lewis had another really good game.
Do you get the sense that if something were to go awry with Too Tall, they would draft Ronan Chambers into that and keep the other four guys where they are? Do you think
I think you'd go back to Dylan Wade and move Braden Joyner in? I think Braden Joyner is playing well enough for them.
He's moved up, I think.
They're like, hey, we're good to go. I think Tate Johnson's going to be back as the backup center. And I think Braden Joyner is going to be your backup guard on both spots. And they've even talked about, he mentioned it, that Jeremiah Wright's a guy that plays so hard that maybe give him a blow middle of the second quarter
and Braden
be the guy that comes in on the right side. And so I think you'll see Braden Joyner a good bit.
I thought one of the more impressive parts of Monday was the answer about Braden Joyner and what it means. And that's something I would encourage, and I rarely do this. I would encourage, maybe we'll play this at some point, Bill, the answer about Braden Joyner that Hugh Freeze gave. I don't know if you guys ran it Monday.
When he talked about that and said, you know, how honest he is. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of coaches wouldn't have gone into the detail about, you know, as honest as he was. He wasn't sure that Braden was ever going to be able to help him.
Some old school fans that, like, that's exactly what you want to hear your coach talking about when he talks about development. And when he talks about it means more than just a career opportunity and a chance to springboard into the NFL. Not looking, if that's why you're in college football, that's fine too. But, like, you know, for some folks it is sentimental. And for some folks it is sort of an emotional deal. And for Braden Joyner it feels to be, you know, it sounds
he was a guy that the media was with. I didn't get a chance to record him. I had my phone over at the other place, but I mean, he said exactly what Hugh Freeze was talking about. I said, I just love to play ball. He wants to do it at Auburn.
And I think the key for him was something we talked about when we talked about him in the preseason, when we had a chance to talk to him. He went from 358 to 308. There may be some guys that can play at 358. Braden Joyner is not one of those guys. He's 6'1". He had to do this. That's where their questions came, because at that size, he's not good enough. But now you look at him, he's in really good shape. He's still physical enough, still strong enough.
Didn't lose a lot of good.
It's all positive.
Yeah, from at 350. Like,
yeah, no, you know, it's all positive.
Everything he could do at 358, he can do.
He does much better now.
He can do it much faster.
Correct.
Now.
And for a longer period of time. I think that's the key. And so you look at it, and those are the things, the stories that you look at. And we're talking about development, and people are like, well, you know, you can recruit these guys, but sooner or later you have to see development. Well, they're three games into the second year with their players. I would say Keldrick Falk has developed. Mm-hmm. Connor Lue's been pretty good and developed, continuing to. Sylvester Smith and J.C. Hart, those guys. There's been some development of the young guys that you've gotten in that you're counting on to play key roles for this team. And now you're playing your freshmen. The older guys, yeah, you need to develop those guys too. But if you're 23 years old, it's hard to go, hey, let's go, like, restart this career. That's a tough thing to do. I would say the development of the young guys and the guys they brought in has been pretty good so far. And now you just have to continue to work on those guys and see how many more of them can help you here down the stretch.
Just underway here with Jason Caldwell on the Wednesday Drive. Love for you to join in. You got any questions or comments for Jason or any of us in here? We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Come on in as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
This November, our country...
382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Again, love for you to join in. What are your thoughts on Auburn, Arkansas this weekend? Anything you want to talk about sports-wise? Jason, it was another very interesting weekend, though, in college football. I mean, there are quite a few teams. I still don't know exactly what to think, because we've seen such drastic differences in performance from week to week.
Other than Texas, I mean, Ohio State's only played a couple of games.
Tennessee.
Other than those teams, I think everybody in the country has had a game, at least one, where you go, man, they could have lost that game.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
if they didn't, that's right.
I mean, Alabama for 55 minutes was getting run over by South Florida at home. Mm-hmm. Now, the score ended up being no indication of that game itself. Georgia, Kentucky, I mean, Saturday, I mean, it's just.
I mean, Kentucky had looked so bad. I mean,
they were terrible. Week before. Awful. And played toe-to-toe. Georgia's offense did not look very good. Kentucky's defense controlled the line of scrimmage.
I think Georgia – I've now watched some of Georgia-Kentucky. I think Georgia misses Brock Bowers and McConkey more than people thought they were going. Like, I think there was this assumption that they would be able to absorb the loss of those two guys. We talked about it a little bit during the summer, Bill. Like, if there's something to doubt about this Georgia team, it would be that when Beck ran into trouble last year – he looked to Bowers and McConkey.
Oh, no doubt.
And replacing those two guys in one offseason, they've got – I mean, look, Lovett would start anywhere in college
they've
football.
Got really talented receivers outside.
It's not talent that we're talking about, though.
Yeah, correct. It's
chemistry and timing and those other things.
All those things matter. It absolutely does. And so you look at it, and having that guy that you know – if I throw the ball here, he's going to be where he's supposed to be. He's going to catch it, and he's going to make first down.
If you ask me right now, Bama's winning that game.
In Tuscaloosa.
I could back off that in a week and a half.
I don't know. I mean, that's
well, again,
the thing.
We're one
because
week removed.
I'm overreacting. Yeah,
we're one week removed from South Florida running for 185, 190 yards.
And Alabama, Alabama goes to Wisconsin. So the feeling is,
you just don't know.
Alabama's better.
You have Kentucky no idea. Annapolis, yeah.
That's why if they were playing this week, I'd probably pick Georgia.
I know. Well, and you're picking against Georgia, a team that hasn't lost a regular season SEC game since Dan Mullen beat them in the cocktail party in like the COVID season.
Yeah, I know. You know, Georgia's defense is playing well. That's a good group. And so I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from anywhere. Like this weekend, I fully expect Tennessee to go out there and go to Oklahoma and win by 17 points. But Oklahoma can win the game.
That's
the world we live in right now. Oklahoma has not been very good. They're 108 in the country offensively. If you don't score, you don't beat Tennessee. And so we'll see if they can score enough points. But I think that's an interesting one. South Carolina LSU last weekend was and I've seen obviously.
Do I not understand the rule? Should I mean is that a personal foul?
I don't understand it 100% because that guy goes and makes a tackle and you go, hey, why didn't you block him? Well, you can't.
You can't touch it
because he just blocked him. That's all he did.
Yeah, I didn't think it was malicious.
Like he's running for the ball. He didn't hit him in the head. He just pushed him down. I thought it was horrible.
I mean, people say because it's behind the play at that point. Is that the argument?
Well,
that
it wasn't, though. He was probably at least even with him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, if it's unnecessary roughness, then call that. But that felt like a football play.
But if the quarterback can't be touched, then
he shouldn't. He should not be able to make a tackle.
It should be like when a player loses a helmet.
Yeah,
it's like,
he's
got to
stop.
Yeah, he should get in the fetal position on the field.
You throw an interception, you sit on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, but absent that, yeah, I thought that was a brutal call.
And the other part of that is South Carolina was up 17-0.
Yep.
Quarterback gets hurt, but they ran the ball. And I'm listening to folks talking about Blake Baker and how much better this defense is. I hadn't seen that. I haven't seen LSU's defense be any better.
No.
They were better when Lenora Sellers got hurt and Robbie Ashford had to play.
They still clearly weren't letting Robbie throw into coverage.
No.
The plan was I know they wanted to play it safe on that last drive, which is too bad because they were
make a play still.
The reluctance to let Robbie, I mean it felt like that offense had and not that it was free flowing with Sellers or anything, but once they went to Robbie, it was a very safe approach that probably made it a little bit tougher on that last field goal attempt.
Yeah, no. So I mean, there's interesting ones.
Florida. How about Florida at Mississippi State?
I just don't want to watch any of that.
But it's.
I think Florida. I think Florida. I think Florida.
There's going to be a train wreck.
I think Florida beats them by two touchdowns.
I think they do too.
I think Mississippi State is that bad.
If Florida doesn't beat Mississippi State, he's is not, Billy Napier the head coach
he
after
is,
an open date this next week?
I'll say this. If they lose in Starkville, it's going to be like the Raiders. He'll be at the Golden Triangle Airport. Somebody's going to come pick him up.
Yeah. Oh, no, he doesn't even get a post-game press conference.
No. I mean, if they, you lose, they to lose that Mississippi team, State, they may go 1-11.
No, you meet him in the locker room. I don't even think it's USC.
I just don't think it's possible unless you turn, no, you might turn it over 50 times and lose.
Yeah. I don't even think it's USC USC Arizona State where it's you know they meet Lane Kiffin at LAX. Like I think the Scott Strickland, although there is a question of, you know, if Scott Strickland lets Billy Napier go, this will be the second time Scott Strickland has fired a coach he hired, no, right?
I love Scott. I wonder if Scott's going to get.
That's
the
biggest part of this one right now is I don't think anybody down that way. I don't think anybody questions whether or not Billy Napier is going to be the coach next year. I don't think the question's going to be, how do you hire the next coach with an interim president and an AD that you normally don't get to hire a third guy.
Right.
A coach, you go, interim president, that athletic director is a guy that may not be around. Am I going to go take that job? That's why this has become a really very different situation, very similar to what we saw at Auburn and what happened. You had to go president, AD, coach.
Right.
We'll see if the same thing happens in Gainesville.
Yeah, that is crazy. But yeah, that's the other SEC matchup this week.
Yeah, no, so. I Texas has been really good. I don't know how good Michigan is. We'll find out a little bit more this weekend.
Michigan hasn't. Michigan, they're obviously
the way you feel. The way you feel about Tennessee, Oklahoma. I think that's how I feel about USC going to Michigan.
See,
I think if that game's close in the fourth quarter, based on how lifeless the Michigan offense has been for Fresno kept them bottled up for most of that football game. It wasn't just Texas. It's small sample size. If the only thing I get to pick is quarterback, and you tell me I got a game to win.
No, I feel better about USC going to the big house than I do Tennessee.
We'll see.
I think Tennessee should.
We'll see. The only thing we're really going on is LSU, and I don't think that LSU defense is very good. And then you look at, I mean, that's what we're going on based on USC on one game that was the first game of the year.
Yeah.
I would guess that Michigan's going to try to grind it out and run the football, and we'll see if the LSU defense, I mean, that USC defense is a lot better. I think it is better, but I think Michigan's going to go old school toe-to-toe and just say, hey, we're going to try to run it and grind you into the dust.
Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us here in the studio here in hour number one. So Auburn's philosophy this week against Arkansas, Jason, I mean, they're going to Arkansas, as you said, is going to try to stop the Auburn run, but Auburn needs to be able to run the ball somehow to be able to take the pressure off Hank Brown.
Yeah, no, I think this entire game is based on which team has success running the football or some success running the football, because you look at the other side of the equation.
Well, both teams are averaging like 7 yards a pop.
Look at the other side of the equation. Arkansas is giving up 60 yards a game on the ground, and that includes playing Oklahoma State. Now, they played Arkansas Pine Bluff and then UAB last week, and UAB did some things. Now, a lot of it was in a passing game with Jacob Zeno, but they haven't allowed very much rushing yardage, and you look at their size up front, and I just did it this afternoon, and, you know, Landon Jackson's 6'7", 280, massive. The other defensive ends are 270, 273. Inside,
Arkansas seems to always be
325 backups.
Big.
373 and 385.
Wow.
Defensive tackles. I mean, like, they've got a massive group of front four guys, which could be interesting, you know, because you look at linebacker and Xavier Sorey transfers in from Georgia, a guy that Auburn recruited, really athletic, and Travis Williams kind of turned him loose. He's been a guy that's done a lot of things for them. I think you'll see a lot of linebacker at the line of scrimmage moving around, playing behind those big guys, letting them eat up space.
The way Oklahoma State adjusted in that Arkansas-Oklahoma – I mean, Oklahoma State had 7 points at the half. They finished with 39 in double overtime to win. I think Talen Green has somewhere in the ballpark of 500 yards total offense.
He had 360-something passing, I think.
Four. I think it's 4+ through the air, 60+ on the ground in that Oklahoma State game. Arkansas nearly had 650 yards total.
They did. They had 650.
It's a game where it hurts to lose because it feels like you let something slip through your fingertips against a top 25 team. But I imagine Arkansas came out of that game feeling pretty good about some of the adjustments they made in the offseason to their offense. To have a guy you acquired via the portal play like that against Oklahoma State's a positive sign. Now, he had some accuracy issues against UAB last week, and
yeah, he did.
If you're even with the Auburn secondary in with questions of its own, I would imagine that they present a tougher challenge than UAB, and you need to be sharp,
yeah.
or you're gonna make some crushing mistakes.
Yeah, he's like 55% for the year.
He's enormous,
really athletic.
Saw him at Media Days.
He is athletic. Gigantic. He can run. He can do all those things. But you're at Oklahoma State. I mean,
it's like Jahni Broom.
You know, Ollie Gordon is a guy that people like, hey, maybe the best running back in the country. He had 17 carries for 49 yards against Arkansas. Now, some of that could be offensive line, but that's kind of what they've done to about everybody. It's been about 60 yards or so. They've given up 185 yards rushing total this season. Well,
They really overplayed the run against Oklahoma State. Why wouldn't they do that against Auburn?
I think it's going to be the same thing. They're going to say, hey, we're not going to let you do that.
Now, the difference was Oklahoma State has Alan Bowman, who was a college football quarterback when Hank Brown was a baby. Right, and now you've got Hank Brown in there.
And I would say that Auburn's outside guys are better than Oklahoma State's.
Yep.
So you're going to have some opportunities for those matchups outside, be able to make plays.
Second straight game where it felt like Robert Lewis was getting open like quite a bit. It's a question of whether or not it's how much he gets the ball. You can wonder about that's two straight games where this is another press box conversation, right, Bill? Where it's like,
oh yeah,
boy, Robert Lewis, like over and over again. You know,
I think middle of the field, especially now when you think about some guys maybe vacating spots with linebackers coming. You may be vacating the middle of the field. This could be a Robert Lewis, Rivaldo Fairweather. I thought Rivaldo looked much more comfortable doing some things with Hank Brown out there.
Going to also be interesting to see what they do find for Malcolm Simmons. That's something that Hugh Freeze said. It's time to come up with a Malcolm package, Malcolm Simmons package.
Yes, I think him and Perry, as the season goes, I think you'll see them grow more and more in the offense. It's just really hard to jump out there without a spring practice and say, well, here you are. You have to be really, really advanced. Cam Coleman probably would have been able to do more because of the offense he played in.
The fact that he was here in the spring,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, helps. I mean, but look at Ryan Williams in Tuscaloosa. He wasn't there, but he also played for Jeff Kelly in a really advanced offense where they did some concepts, some of those things. It's allowed him and his talent to kind of get a little bit of a maybe a head start, but I think you'll see these guys both continue to come on.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Phone calls are coming in. Love for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon, 4:35, and let's get to the phone. And Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. Yesterday I heard somebody else, can't remember who it was, talking about how Arkansas held Oklahoma State, down and running the ball and all, especially that Gordon fella. But I looked last night. Oklahoma State, on 35 carries, only averaged 3.7 yards, I believe it was, against Tulsa. And Gordon was under 50 again. So I think their offensive line is just not what it was.
Yeah, I think that's some of that as well. And so it's going to be no matter what, Auburn is going to have to find a way to create some creases against a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage, I believe, on Saturday.
Oh, no doubt. But I think it'll still come down to can Auburn take care of the ball? don't fumble and don't throw interceptions.
Hey, Brett, I can't help but wonder, in the sense that like Ollie Gordon wins the Doak Walker Award last year, nation's best running back, has ample opportunity to go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants, stays at Oklahoma State, now finds himself I think it would be did the resources that they had to spend to keep Ollie Gordon in the fold find themselves maybe with a lackluster offensive line. We'll see.
Nothing left for the big guys.
We'll see, because they've got Utah on Saturday, and that is, you know, at the moment that feels like a battle for pole position in the Big 12 between those two teams. But yeah, it's an interesting point that Oklahoma State was not overwhelming on the ground against Tulsa.
They are either. They are 106. No, 105. 105 nationally right now in rushing offense.
That's crazy. With the Doak Walker.
Let's see where they are in average yards per carry. Because that 108. So they're right there in both of those spots. So that's a good catch. I mean, like, they haven't run the ball.
Yeah.
No matter who they played to this point.
Tell me how many yards y'all think Auburn needs running the ball to win the game.
I don't know that there's a set number, because I do think you're going to be able to make some opportunities in the passing game, but you don't need to have a 50-60 yard performance. I think, you know, if
you need to be able to run it when you.
I got a question. How about this? How about you would be surprised if Auburn ran for X amount of yards and still lost to Arkansas?
150.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest one. My biggest one is the other side. I think it's much more imperative for Auburn to stop Arkansas's running game to win the game than it is for Auburn to have a bunch of yards rushing.
I think Auburn has the ability to make more plays in the passing game.
Correct.
Than Arkansas. That's a good point, Jason. I mean, if Arkansas runs, we've seen that. When Arkansas beats Auburn, they generally run and run.
Yeah, when Bobby Petrino runs the ball, it's almost over with.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Brett.
Yeah, that's a very good.
I mean,
point.
To me, that's the biggest thing is, and you know, last week reminded me of week one for Auburn defensively. Mm-hmm. Here you go. We're just going to play base defense, throw a few things out there, and just play it. And I thought they did that. Second half made a few adjustments, but I thought you saw them going, we're not going to show a bunch of things. It wasn't even close to the same defense that we saw week two against Cal, where they were aggressive at the line of scrimmage. We'll see much more of that against Arkansas. The thing you have to be wary of this week is sending guys and giving running lanes for a quarterback that can eat up some yardage in a hurry. That's the danger zone this week.
You've got some really interesting matchups. I mean, Bobby Petrino, DJ Durkin were together at Texas A&M.
Correct.
I mean,
saw each other in practice.
Yeah, so they practiced against each other every single day. So, I mean, they've got to have a feel for what's coming at them from the other side.
Yeah, obviously, both of them. Obviously, players are different. Schemes are a little different for both. Because quarterback-wise, now, you had an athletic quarterback at Texas A&M last year, but this is a much different looking. Mm-hmm. This is almost more Louisville. Not quite Lamar Jackson, but a little bit of that kind of stuff. When you start looking at what Arkansas is doing now, they'll play two or three or four tight ends at times and do some things. I mean, they're not small on the offensive line either. They've added some big guys on that side too. But yeah, it starts I think back to 2002, 2003, and you go Bobby Petrino and you go, when they run the football, the play action game,
they run the
all
football,
those things
they get explosive.
So
they get explosive
dangerous.
Plays,
correct,
and easily through the air. It seems too, because you know
you have to create
in the world try to stop. That
yes,
run.
You have to put so many guys up there to try to stop the run game. And this is a big Jaquinda Jackson's a big 230-pound running back. Dan, to your point, Taylen Green's 6'5", 230, but runs it and long legs and for all that Auburn defensive front. How much more do we see of Zacchaeus Walker? He's played pretty good the first 3 weeks, and we haven't seen a ton of him. Do you try to go a little bigger at times and maybe play a true 4-3 maybe at
times?
Yeah,
I wondered about going to to an even
and go Keldrick and Zacchaeus, two true defensive ends, and have a Jalen McLeod walk up potentially as a fifth guy on the line of scrimmage at times as pass rush guy.
He's been playing like a linebacker.
He's been
anyway.
Doing some of those things anyway. So I think we'll see a lot of different looks from this Auburn defense on Saturday.
It's a very different looking Arkansas team than the one that Auburn saw. At the, you know, they've changed a couple of things. Including, I think going look, your offense changed a lot going from KJ Jefferson to Taylen Green. Like that's, I mean, if it's those are two guys who I think Green's probably more comfortable throwing the football. KJ, different kind of runner.
Yeah,
I mean,
power. They're both huge. Run guy. Yeah, they're different. Yeah, a little bit different, but do some similar things in a different way. And you know, Taylen Green was at Boise State. He threw it really well against Oklahoma State, but again, the percentage isn't that high. But it's been some big plays, and almost all of them go to one guy. That receiver that's got and missed one game and has like 14, 15 catches.
Petrino's an offensive line coach's kind of coordinator too, right? You know, trying to do a lot of what he does. Coach Freeze gave the answer Monday. A lot of what he does is out of sets that you would guess run pre-snap as to what they're going to do, and the fact that he's been able to. He can show you those kind of formations. He can show you those sets and still throw out of them consistently. Like his offense have been able to do that throughout his career. You know, moving tight ends around and utilizing. I don't know how often he still does it, but I always associated Bobby Petrino with the bunch too, right? Like that dude loves a bunch formation with receivers and maybe a tight end.
It may be a couple of tight ends in this set because they're physical and how much they want to run the football. You might have some of those guys munch at the line of scrimmage to try to give you a true overload. And those are things I'm sure they'll be prepared for. But and there'll be some wrinkles that both sides throw at the other. That was a lot of what we saw last week. You looked up and New Mexico did things that they haven't even done all year.
Right.
There'll be some things that both teams have saved for this game being the first SEC game and because of the way the schedules have done. There'll be some things that neither has shown. I think especially from Auburn – with Hank Brown, there'll be some things that they want to do with him, maybe change up a little bit of the offense that was more of a Peyton Thorne type offense.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk more about that. We need to go ahead and get to our final break.
One more thing, just because right before we take a break, we've talked a lot about how important this game is for Coach Freeze.
And, yeah, I was going to say.
You want to lead into?
Well, before I threw how important and how critical this ball game was, I thought we'd give Jason a minute or so to think about. Yeah, but that's
sure.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was gonna talk about is how like this game is, especially after losing the way they did to Oklahoma State and playing a competitive game against UAB that had folks grumbling in their seats for much of the duration. This is a huge one for Sam Pittman, isn't it? Like this feels like an 0-1 start in conference play with A&M coming up in Arlington. Like this is a correct. Massive game.
Yeah, then Tennessee
for Sam Pittman's Arkansas.
Yeah,
team.
Then Tennessee bye week, LSU at Mississippi State, which should be a big deal. But then you have Ole Miss, Texas, and then you're at Missouri, your last SEC game. That's not an easy slate.
No, Mississippi State shouldn't be a big deal if he's still the coach.
Well, depends on what it looks like if you've kind of deflated the program sometime. You just don't know. And it's obviously a huge game when you're talking about building a program or trying to keep a program building. On both sides is a big game.
All right, we'll get to our final break. Still time for you to join in here in hour number one, 334-321-1390.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one, our final segment with Jason Caldwell of Auburn Undercover here in the studio. And yeah, we were talking about it during the break. I mean, it's hard to, it's really hard to determine, but no way around it. This is a game Auburn really, really needs to win. Both teams really, really need to win.
Yeah, and like I said, you don't know. We just talked about how up and down everybody's been pretty much this season. You don't know what the rest of the schedule holds, but you know that it'd be good to build some momentum. And you need to start moving forward and showing it on both sides of the ball and building some confidence. And it's not a great spot to be in for a guy that's only played – you know, three quarters of football basically, and against New Mexico as a first team quarterback. But doing it at home is obviously important, and that's why you start thinking about kind of how you do things. If you know you have a plan ready for pressure protection and to get the ball out of your hands, get the ball to your playmakers, let them go make plays, and don't try to do too much. I don't think it changes what I said last week. Was just, hey, play within the framework of the offense. That's what you have to do. There's enough guys outside on this team offensively that you can go do that. Defensively, nothing's changed my mind. This team still isn't good enough up front in the middle of this defense. You have to help them. And yeah, that creates worry when you have to help the interior defensive line to create pressure, because that means there's less guys in the secondary to be able to go cover guys and to maybe cover guys longer. That's a scary position to be in.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Bobby James and Travis moving into the starting lineup. I mean, Malik Blockton has
played a lot.
Those two guys may be the guys with the most potential of making plays.
Especially creating negative plays. This week, because of what you're seeing from Arkansas, you know, Rakes and those guys, I think will have a role to try to clog up the middle of this and take away maybe some of the dive part of things.
This game appears, just to, in my mind, it seems critical. Linebackers got to play really well.
Yeah, and they got and it would help if those guys can keep them clean. So keep some of those guys off of them and let them get downhill. Linebacker, safeties. This is the two, because they have to make really good decisions when you think about coming up and run support.
Cannot do what they did last week,
and give
Coach
up.
Coach Freeze obviously called him out for that.
Yeah, give up one-on-one shots down the field because you're attacking the line of scrimmage, and one-on-one shots when you
want to help your friends.
Yeah, I mean that's it, and
it's commendable.
You know, and there were some people talking about like down the field last week. There were a couple of balls thrown that were just thrown up, and the wide receiver just made a play on the ball. But yeah, because the safeties weren't there, then those plays were able to be made.
Yeah, it's just one guy, and it's the receiver who has an advantage over the defensive back.
Because
he's finding it.
Correct.
No,
does Ryan Davis have any eligibility left after the season is over? Because that guy was flying all over the field,
making a bunch of plays.
Yeah. I mean, not the Ryan Davis that set the receptions record for Auburn back in 2017, a different one who was, just consistently making plays. If that guy goes in the portal, I want that name circled because, he was a problem for the Auburn secondary.
Yeah, redshirt senior, but he's also got an Auburn connection. That's Connor Davis' little brother.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Auburn baseball player, Connor Davis. That's one of his little brothers. He's from Roswell, Blessed Trinity. He was a good player in high school. I think he was at UAB or somewhere and transferred out there.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. And so, Auburn connection there.
He had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Saturday. I mean, it was a big game for him.
It really was.
Yeah. I know. To me, that's for me, I'd love to see one of these guys on the interior defensive line push, create some havoc in the middle. There's nothing more important for a defense than having those guys in the middle. Keldrick Fault's going to make his plays, playing really well. Jalen McLeod, those guys. Who in the middle of this defensive front can get into the backfield, get a couple of tackle for losses, create some long yardage, negative play situations? That's going to be the key for Auburn's defense, because if you don't have those, then it becomes really tough.
Going to be, Auburn, Arkansas has been crazy, Jason. Most of the games lately have been one-sided. There haven't been a lot of close ones.
There have not. Earlier, turnovers are always important. No question. You got to hold on to the football. Can't take a lot of chances. But I do think there's going to be some opportunities in the pass game. Hank Brown is the best deep ball thrower Auburn's got, and there's going to be some opportunities for some deep ball shots with Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think Cam will be back because Arkansas going to say, hey, we're going to take our chances in the one-on-one spots. But knowing that you can't let Auburn get the running game started, so I wouldn't be shocked to see a couple of big play shots downfield.
Jason, before we run out of time, let everybody know what you and all the guys have got going, how they can keep up with everything.
Yeah, again, tons of stuff heading into to Saturday previews. If you haven't listened, we get Ellis Johnson on every week for a Coach's Corner, and it's really good football talk to listen to that. We'll have our live show tomorrow night. You can check in there. Have a special guest with us tomorrow night, 6 to about 7 or so. tomorrow on our YouTube and Facebook, all those things. You can find that. But check us out, AuburnUndercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. And same thing, Auburn Undercover on YouTube as well, and find us there.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jason. I always appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we are halfway done. We'll open up the phone lines. Oh, we don't forget our first Tiger Takes, which has now moved to Wednesday. So we'll have Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante coming at the bottom of the hour. But we'd love to hear from you in the meantime. So come on in and join us in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Oh, that is cool. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Pretty cool. And he was 2 weeks early. They said if he'd have gone two more weeks, he would have been bumping 10.
Mm.
So, pretty crazy. But anyway, I wanted to share that. So, Dan, I have a question for you. You ready?
Dan just stepped away. There he is. All right.
Sorry, I was doing other work in the studio.
Oh, well, I understand. I have a question for you. If the quarterback before you was benched because of bad reads and just taking checkdowns and not doing the right thing with the football, what would make you think that Hank Brown wouldn't play the way he played on Saturday?
Oh, I'm not sure that the only – but okay, well, I think that – I'm not sure that taking checkdowns was a big part of the reason Peyton Thorne was benched, right? I think if anything, you know, coming out of that Cal game, there were times when they'd wanted him to check it down rather than take a sack or run out of bounds or throw it away.
All right, well, let me rephrase my question. Okay. If you're the quarterback that's making poor decisions about where to go with the football, and then you're the guy that comes in after him, wouldn't you make sure you were making good decisions with the football?
Oh, I think, sure.
But he could also could have leaned towards safe decisions with the football, and I don't think Hank did. Now, that's not to say he was dangerous with it, but I don't think he was cautious or conservative in his approach against New Mexico, which might have been just because he was a guy making career start number one. Maybe he would take a more cautious approach, and that's clearly not him based on the way he played.
I think his approach to the game is completely different than that. But I also think that I'd rather have the guy that makes the right decision and play. And, you know, you're not always going to throw the perfect ball, and sometimes defenses make great plays. It just I thought he played smooth, under control, never seemed – even stood in the pocket and delivered the ball and got hit pretty hard on the deep ball down the east side. I can't remember the receiver that – fought back to get that catch.
That's the Perry Thompson catch that you're talking about, where he takes the hit.
That's Perry Thompson catch. Well, I think great catch, but a better throw, because he got that ball off with somebody who drilled him right as the ball got out of his hand, and he never flinched.
He takes a hit on the he takes a hit on the rollout too, on the rollout touchdown,
yep.
Right to Micah, where it's like he's gonna take a hit. And he still delivers it perfectly. And the you know, the play that sort of the play that I guess would illustrate what I'm talking about, where a young, inexperienced quarterback might take a more cautious approach to his first game, and this guy didn't, is the Sam Jackson pass where Damari's there in the flat, and he could
have dumped it to Damari.
Yeah,
would have been
very easy. Very easy to dump it off to Damari, and instead he flips that thing exactly where it needs to be downfield to Sam Jackson. Mm-hmm. After looking the defense off, and it's like that's a play that a guy, you know, it didn't feel like career start number one, seeing a guy make a throw like that.
He's bigger. What was his weight they listed him at? He's 6'4".
208 is what Auburn lists him at.
Boy, he looks bigger than 208.
I don't know.
I wasn't at the game.
He just got to see him yesterday, just, you know, in a T-shirt. And that's probably right. That's probably right.
Okay. All right. He looked like a football player. And I don't think very much bothered him.
He looked like a surfer yesterday. He's got the flowing blonde locks.
That's fine. But
did a lot of surfing in Nashville.
Yeah, I doubt that.
He was taking the board out in Nashville a lot. Tex. I mean, he did have the surfer look going.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Bill, just come to Lake Martin and check out the wake boat.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, he would fit in perfectly there. So, but I think just he looks to me like what a quarterback, even with his helmet off, with the flowing gold hair, looks like a Hugh Freeze quarterback. I don't know why. It looks like an Ole Miss quarterback is what he really looks like to me. So anyway,
Tex, I watched a couple of Dr. Bo's games in like 2012, 2013, and that offense that mm-hmm. Auburn was going with on Saturday, like it did. There, I mean, there were some obvious similarities, and the way Ole Miss worked to get the ball out of Bo Wallace's hands consistently, like mm-hmm. Bo Wallace did not hold on to the football while things developed. It was usually out of his hands really quickly, and that's what Hugh Freeze is going for. He's closer to that with Hank Brown. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, and again, I apologize. I still don't know. So, Bill, I'm poised with a very difficult decision here. I am going to Ozark on Thursday evening.
Sure, I understand
that means
that.
I'll be there Friday. Where do I go Saturday?
Where do you
do
go
I stay Saturday? With him?
Well, you've been there. Yeah, you've been there since Thursday. You can always. I mean, you know, you can check out for a little while and get back. I would think.
Well, my point guard that distributes whether or not I can be in a good mood or not is been there since Monday. very difficult.
See,
to do.
Maybe
I plan on going to the game.
Maybe you should be there before Thursday, Tex. Maybe you should be there like tonight.
I can't get there before Thursday. Today's Wednesday.
I know that. That's why I said tonight.
Well, I don't believe that my boss will allow me to do that because he's got a very busy day today, tomorrow. Mm. So he needs to make sure that I'm there and ready to play tomorrow and distribute the decisions wisely. So, I work for the only person I can trust. Anyway, last but not least, and I just lost my train of thought. Oh, by the way, Saturday is my 39th wedding anniversary, Bill.
Yep, congratulations. Oh. Yeah, big man.
Yeah, you need
a lot going on.
I'm gonna get Cindy to call, and you can congratulate her.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously. For putting up.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Good hearing from you, Tex. Yeah, congratulations again, man. That's great.
See you soon, Tex.
334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. What do you think? We're going to see on Saturday with Auburn and Arkansas, an Arkansas team that is. They feel they are much improved over a year ago. Auburn feels they are much improved over a year ago. Sam Pittman. There were some questions as to whether he would be back. They bring in Bobby Petrino, bring back Bobby Petrino as offensive coordinator. I heard some talk earlier today from folks that were speculating, well, if Sam doesn't go, does Arkansas go back to Bobby Petrino? And I've heard a couple of people say, look, Bobby Petrino doesn't want to be a head coach. He's done. He's done with that. He's much more comfortable at this point. Just call in place.
Doesn't seem like this is a promote from within mess at Arkansas, too, as if they decide to go away from Sam Pittman, or if it's something where they're going to probably bring in an outsider to remake the whole thing. Not that that's necessarily an indictment on the job that Petrino or Williams is doing, but an outsider might want to reboot the whole thing if that's how this ends this season with Sam Pittman, and that's still very much up in the air. I mean, he goes and wins a road game against an SEC team that blew him out last year in Fayetteville, and that's a serious notch.
Oh, it is. Funny. Pittman. Hugh Freeze today on the SEC teleconference commented on Sam Pittman's ability to win road games, saying, "Just look at the record. His team really plays well on the road." And of course, the last time they were in Auburn, mm-hmm. they did just that, putting the final nail in the Brian Harsin coffin.
No, and that was a really tough situation Sam Pittman inherited too. Arkansas had struggled under Bielema, and then Chad Morris.
A very long conference losing streak going.
Yeah, I think during the COVID season, it's he's able to pick up a couple of victories on the road and start to right the ship. They have that 9-win season in 2021. It's been a little bit tougher for them
really
of
has.
Late, but. No, it is a huge game for both coaches as they try to, Sam Pittman wants to keep positive momentum going this season. I think Hugh Freeze wants to keep keep positive momentum going, not just this season, but with his program, and this would be
For recruiting too. I mean, this is something where you've got the recruiting momentum going right now for 25 and 26 after a really good class last year, and you want some proof of concept on the field. You want to have that to re-encourage, to continue to reinforce the recruiting. You know, Jason was talking about it a while ago, but I mean, you look at how. We talked about how important this ball game is for Auburn. Look at it for Arkansas. Arkansas, after this ball game, has Texas A&M at home, then Tennessee before they get an open date, and then LSU there at Mississippi State, which they should be able to win that one. But then Ole Miss, Texas, and they still have to go to Missouri. My goodness. I mean, this is a brutal schedule for Arkansas, and this is a – a game that they really, I mean, they've got to feel like this is one of their better shots of winning.
This is one of their more winnable SEC games, even if it's on the road against a team that dismantled them in Fayetteville last year. And so this is it's enormous. It, you know, for both teams and for Auburn, you know, this is a look. This game is winnable. Oklahoma a week from now is winnable.
And if
Hugh Freeze can go 2-0.
Now, if Oklahoma beats Tennessee, maybe we won't just be talking about how winnable it is. I don't see that, but.
But that's enormous.
But who knows?
That game's enormous. I mean,
how could they be up 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, we'll say. I mean, if the game were in Knoxville and Oklahoma dismantled Tennessee, I'd say, well, hold on, you know, hold your horses. But no, if Hugh Freeze can go 2-0 against Arkansas and Oklahoma, he doesn't erase the Cal game, but a lot of what you're worrying about
it makes it much less meaningful because it's a non-conference game and you're still 4-1.
And the story becomes Auburn realized they needed to make some changes after that game and made those changes. And if anything, you're not looking better because you'd rather be 5-0. But the fact that you know if you can salvage 4-1 out of an early stumble against Cal.
You've got a chance.
Yeah,
you'll have a chance.
You'll feel like you've got some momentum going. So that starts Saturday against Arkansas.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Again, a reminder: Tiger Takes coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we'd love for you to join in here. Phone lines are open 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
Experience ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock with Bill and Dan. And we're talking about Auburn, Arkansas. We also were looking at some of the other games around the SEC and the country. You mentioned just a little bit about USC and Michigan.
We did talk a little USC Michigan.
I was trying to think. Yeah, were we talking about that or was I?
No, that was with Jason back an hour. Yeah, we mentioned that's a game that Michigan has not looked impressive through three games.
No, they haven't.
And it's including the home loss to Texas.
Jason not sold on USC because of LSU's defense.
Sure, and it's still a pretty limited sample size for this USC team. People they're about a touchdown favorite in Ann Arbor, but it's a close win against LSU and a blanking of Utah State in a game that wasn't all that competitive. That's all we've seen from the Trojans this year. They are coming off a bye week, and they are a team that impressed people in that win over LSU. I love the way Moss played in Vegas down the stretch to get them that win. But this is a big moment for Michigan, right? Like this is they had a test to see if they were still at national championship level against Texas 2 weeks ago, and I would say the results were not promising considering the way Texas handled that game. Now it's an early conference, an early winnable conference game seemingly for Michigan. Let's see what happens when USC comes to town.
Yeah, as I'm looking through, there aren't many ranked matchups. You mentioned Utah and Oklahoma State, which is a top 15 matchup.
How about we got one Friday night?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I just jumped right to Saturday.
How about we got?
You sure do. Yeah. Illinois, Nebraska.
How about
Friday night?
Bielema and Rule going at it on Friday night.
I had gone ahead and just was looking at Saturday, not expecting there to be any big matchups Thursday or Friday.
That's a pretty good Nebraska team. I don't want to go out. I don't want to blow this out of proportion.
I think they're not bad.
And by the way, hey Bill, and myself. Listen. Hey, listen to the schedule. By the way, they've got Illinois at home on Friday night. I'm thinking they're about a touchdown favorite or so. Is the last time I saw that. That number could be that number could be off. Drew, check that for me if you can. Nebraska, Illinois. What the line is. Nebraska's at Purdue, then they host Rutgers, then they go to Indiana, then they go to Ohio State, then they host UCLA, they go to USC, they host Wisconsin, they go to Iowa. I mean, there are winnable Big Ten games.
You're right. They could win 9 or 10 games
for Nebraska in here. You know, going to Ohio State's a really tough draw. Going to USC's not going to be
all
easy.
All the rest of them are winnable.
All the rest of them feel winnable And that starts with a strong performance on Friday night. But Matt Rhule, you know, he's got something cooking in year two in Lincoln.
I believe it.
It's a coach you like.
Yeah, Dylan Raiola, his quarterback. And
Illinois with Luke Altmyer, the former Ole Miss quarterback, the guy that competed with Jackson Dart for a while to be the starter. He's off to a good start to his college football career up in Illinois.
Yeah, because around the SEC, we've mentioned a couple of the ball games. There are some just not exciting games in the SEC. Some should be one-sided matchups. The only teams with open dates this week are Alabama and Georgia, but there are other teams that don't appear to be playing the most difficult opponents. Kentucky's got Ohio coming in. That's been tough for them in the past, and it'll be interesting to see if Kentucky, after coming so close against Georgia but now having lost two in a row, how the Wildcats bounce back against Ohio. LSU has UCLA. UCLA is struggling.
No, it's a it feels like the makings of a lost season for UCLA. You remember Chip Kelly leaving to become the new offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
He just got out.
He bailed out. Didn't seem like there was a ton of heartbreak, wake. And I think Deshaun Foster can eventually build something, although it's going to be a tough one in the Big Ten.
It is.
It's already not necessarily having attended UCLA. I can tell you, like, it's not really a football crazed fan base or group of alumni. I mean, it's just the football stadium's about an hour away from campus. I don't know how engaged the NIL is compared to some places that are probably more serious about winning a football national championship. It's going to be difficult to be anything better than okay, I think, in the Big Ten. And right now they're not even okay.
Yeah, LSU should be able to continue to put up the points.
Can Cal win? That's the one I keep coming back to, Bill.
At Tallahassee?
Come on, baby.
I think they can. I don't think things set up well for them being down there. I mean, unless Florida State has just gone ahead and tanked. If Florida State has said, all right, just to heck with it, we don't care. I think Cal can.
I would take Cal's quarterback over FSU's quarterback.
I definitely would there. You would expect this to be a low-scoring ball game.
Do you go with – no, I mean, I wonder
I just feel. I just feel like Florida State, Cal making its second, across the country in 3 weeks.
DJU's backup is a guy we talked about a lot as a recruit, Brock Glenn, former I believe Auburn's his first name. You know, that's it's that guy. I wonder if he was the one who went in for Jordan Travis in the games last year. I wonder if at some point they push that button.
I think they have to.
And we could see him maybe even this Saturday against Cal if DJ.
That's an interesting game though. I mean, if Florida State wins, then Auburn fans are just gonna roll their eyes and go, "Are you serious?" Losing to of course Florida State. Remember, Florida State did start the season preseason top 10. They have some talent on that team, but golly, it's been ugly down there. Thus far,
NC State going to Clemson. NC State making the quarterback change.
I think Clemson's gonna destroy.
Yeah, I think they're leaking oil there at NC State. I wonder if that coach is in trouble if they come up small in a season where they were supposed to be as good.
No kidding. I mean, start the season ranked. And,
yeah.
finish the season rank?
Georgia Tech Louisville is an interesting little ACC game at 2:30. That's going to be on during Auburn Arkansas. That's the ESPN2 game on Saturday. Georgia Tech 3-1 after the win over Florida State.
They are definitely better.
And Louisville quietly a 2-0 start for a team that people forget they were knocking on the door of the postseason last year. They were in the mix.
They weren't bad at all.
And would have been in the mix for a 12-team postseason last year down the stretch. And let's see what Louisville's got. They've got another super veteran. That's the guy who the Louisville quarterback, I always mispronounce where it's like his last name is spelled. He's the guy who went to high school like right by my mom's place in Chandler. Arizona.
That helps.
In Phoenix. No, we talked about him when he was in the portal. He's a Phoenix kid. He was Oregon's quarterback. It's spelled Shough, but it's like Chug or something, right? Like he's or Chaw or something. Remember, like Tyler Shug or whatever. But he's he's 6'6" and he's Louisville's quarterback this year, and he's off to a pretty good start to the season.
Yeah, the other games involving SEC teams, Ole Miss after that win at Wake Forest has got Georgia Southern this weekend. Vandy after that tough loss last week gets to go to Missouri. I mean, there's your other SEC matchup is Missouri hosting Vandy. You would think Missouri wins that one handily, but I mean, we'll see if Vandy can play them tough. South Carolina after the tough loss against LSU has Akron at home. Texas gets to Dame to score on ULM, while A&M has Bowling Green. So, I mean, a lot of non-conference should-be one-sided matchups involving SEC teams.
And then you've got some teams on bye weeks, too, including Bama and Georgia.
Yeah, Alabama and Georgia.
Who face
before
off.
They play each other next week. You know, next week is the first – I mean, there are a lot of teams – Florida, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vandy.
Six SEC games on the slate next week. Nobody's. Oh no, that's wrong. Next week LSU has South Alabama coming to town, but the other four games.
And then you got five.
The other five games on the schedule are conference games.
And five teams have open dates on the last Saturday in September as well. So yeah, we're getting more into conference play, but this week there's still quite a few non-conference games. So.
And speaking of which, Auburn, Oklahoma on that week five matchup,
right?
There are three games in that 2:30 or the 2:30 to 3:30 window that one of them is going to probably be on ABC.
What are the other ones?
So the other two SEC games are Mississippi State, Texas, and Arkansas A&M. Those are all in that. So one of those could be on ABC. One of those could be on ESPN. One of those could be on ESPN2. Yeah, I think SEC Network could also get involved there. If Texas is the number one team in the country, maybe ABC would want them. I don't know.
And Texas has got – who'd you say Texas State. Has? Texas has State?
Yeah.
Man, that's Mississippi State. Things look really bad.
A trip to Austin really is not bad. What the doctor ordered for that. I don't know a lot of teams that need to take a trip to Austin right now.
They'd better win. I mean, I don't know that
in
they
Texas?
Will. I think Florida – no.
Okay.
Saturday.
They better win at Texas.
No. I think this – Florida is one of their better chances of winning a game in conference play because State's got to go to Texas, and their next game after an open eight is at Georgia before A&M comes in. So, I mean, it's going to be very difficult. I think Florida beats Mississippi State.
That's the ESPN.com matchup projector for
they give them a chance. They give them less than, about a 3% chance?
2.6 is State's chances of winning.
So you're saying they've got a chance.
According to ESPN.
That's why I said they'd better win. They'd better win this week. But if they win this week against Florida, then it's going to be hard to imagine Billy Napier being the head coach for the Gators in their next game.
Yeah, I could see Auburn, Oklahoma as the 2:30 ABC
Auburn
game.
Auburn, I think, needs to beat Arkansas.
The winner of that game leads up to that is the game that will lead up to Bama, Georgia at 6:30 next week on ABC.
So those are your matchups for this week in the Southeastern Conference. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Tiger Takes coming up on the other side. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's 5:30 on Wednesdays, and that means it's time for Tiger Takes, making its move to Wednesdays, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Visit them today at 217 North College Street or book online at 12ksalon.net.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Sitting down for our weekly segment for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn, and we're joined by Auburn football linebacker Eugene Asante. Eugene, great to have you back on the station, man. Always enjoy sitting down and talking with you for Tiger Takes each and every week, and always nice to have you on after a win over New Mexico this past Saturday.
Yeah, man, I'm glad to be back. Just excited for this next episode, and you know, grateful that we got the win and went out there and played against New Mexico. Got to see a lot of different guys, get different experiences in different spots. So, just seeing our team blossom is something that I truly cherish. So, getting ready for this week SEC play, and just excited for what's to come.
Well, as before we get into the game itself, Auburn and New Mexico, what was last week like for you guys throughout the week? I know we talked to you early in the week and got some thoughts going into New Mexico, but just everything throughout practice and the mindset and going into Saturday, coming off of the loss, trying to, you know, kind of make up for that a little bit. What was last week like for you guys going into the New Mexico game?
Yeah, I think last week was more so just to, you know, refresh ourselves on the team that we believe that we can be. Understanding that we played, you know, we had a kind of a mulligan game against Cal, and we didn't want that to happen again, you know, where we put ourselves in bad positions to not win a football game. So we had to just do evaluation process within ourselves and, you know, watch the film and be hard critics of our own mistakes and everything that we've done. And, you know, coming to the New Mexico game with a different perspective. Going out there, we're trying to dominate in every form of the game, special teams, offense, and defensively. And just take the corrections that the coaches have given us throughout the week. We have some great leaders and coaches that are guiding us in the right direction. So taking their leadership and trying to put it all together for the New Mexico game. And, you know, there's still areas that we need to improve and continue to grow upon, but we continue to see strides week to week.
Well, preparing for that New Mexico team and that quarterback, Dan Pierre, that's a team that played a top 25 team the week before, hung 39 on them, and you guys were able to hold them to just 19 points. That quarterback was 22 of 44, had a touchdown, but also had two interceptions. What was the game plan for you guys in this game, and then how were you able to execute it?
Yeah, so we knew they had a dynamic quarterback, somebody that can change the game with his legs and with his throwing capabilities. The biggest thing for me was to go out there and try to rally the guys around, you know, just being a hard-nosed defense, trying to be physical at the point of the attack in terms of the run game. And then on top of that, when we get to third down situations, being able to pressure the quarterback and get to him effectively. So, you know, those were the biggest key points for the game and what we wanted to do in certain situations. I understand that, you know, defensively, I feel like there's a lot of things that we didn't execute to the highest of our, to the standard that we know that we can execute it. But looking within the film, there's correctable things and all detailed things. And I'm just going to continue to tell the guys to hone in on the details so we can be the defense that we want to be.
I'm curious, especially with you being such a leader on the defense and commanding those guys on that side of the football, for New Mexico, it's no secret, Eugene. I mean, they had a lot of penalties on offense. Does that throw you off at all, or kind of the momentum of a defensive side and just the things that you want to do? Does that throw you off when it seems like the offense a lot of times couldn't get out of its own way against New Mexico?
Yeah, I think those things do play a factor in the game. You have to be honest and critique every aspect of the game. You know, those things do penalties, calls, those things do affect games. But I think the biggest thing for us is to understand that, you know, to put ourselves in the best situations to be on the right side of those calls. And then on top of that, you know, not leaving it up to chance, being definitive in everything we're doing in terms of whatever it, the situation and case may be, to give ourselves the best opportunity to go out there and not leave it up to the refs or be in situations where the ref will dictate the game, stuff like that.
Well, for that offense against the New Mexico offense, that is, they had just 4 of 13 on third down. You guys forced 2 turnovers as well, but that's the number I hone in on, is 4 of 13 on third down. Man, that is really something to hang your hat on, and that's something that you guys, I think, should be really proud of yourselves for.
Yeah, you know, we have goals throughout the week, just trying to hold up to certain marks, and I feel like that was a key point for us. We're going to continue to develop upon that number. There's so many opportunities to even limit that number even more. So the biggest thing is just continue to try to hone in on the details and continue to put a full game together this week.
Eugene Asante joining us here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Make your next reservation at 12ksalon.net. Have to ask you about the offensive side for Auburn, though. It was a new look for the offense with Hank Brown getting the start, and this offense was able to move the football pretty effectively, put up a lot of points. Lots of guys got involved offensively. What was it like for you guys to see Hank Brown start for Auburn last Saturday?
You know, it was such an exciting thing for me to see. You know, I'm a guy that I really do gravitate to guys that, you know, are humble in everything they do, you know. And Hank Brown is truly the definition of that. He's a humble kid. He was our scout team quarterback last year, and he gave us the best look possible. Never complained about his situation and being on scout team, and just went out there and practiced the way he needed to practice, and that prepared him for the bowl game. So Hank Brown lived in the moment every single day at practice and got the opportunity in the bowl game and showed what he can do with capabilities in the bowl game. And, you know, that bowl game propelled him into a role where he is competing for a job. And once he was competing for a job, you know, got an opportunity this past weekend and show what he can do. And, you know, I'm just excited for him, a guy that, you know, comes in every single day and works and, you know, leads by example, leads by everything he does in terms of just the type of person, the way he carries himself. He's a very humble person, very down to earth, very in the faith. So, you know, I'm just excited to see him blossom and continue to command the offense.
And you have such a unique perspective on all the quarterbacks because you guys go up against them in practice every single day and throughout this week here on ESPN. Lots of questions just about what Hank Brown can do other than throw the football. Is he mobile? And, you know, his checkdowns. Hugh Freeze, your head coach, talked about how he made almost all the checks perfectly this week. And you guys have a really unique perspective on what Hank Brown can do and I guess what the possibilities are with him as a quarterback with you guys being on the defensive side.
Yeah, he's a very cerebral player, a very smart player, understands what to look at in terms of defenses. He's not easily flustered. He's certainly somebody that's very composed back there and tries to go through his progressions and just make the right decisions. And, you know, you can certainly trust a guy like that because he lives his life that way, you know, and it's a lot of carryover on the way he lives his life, the way he is able to command offense and plays the game of football. I really do think those two things correlate when I evaluate people within this game of football. How you live your life is how you're going to be on the football field. So Hank does a good job in you know, doing all the little things off the field and just honing on the details. And he's got a great leader, Coach Freeze leading him, and Coach Austin as well, just propelling him to the potential that he knows he can reach. So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited to see what he continues to do.
Auburn beats New Mexico last week 45-19, but as you mentioned at the start of our call, Eugene, it is SEC play now, man, and you know this better than most. It ramps up starting this week. I'm curious in your opinion, in your mind, just the difference in what SEC play means, and we know the teams that are on this schedule, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Georgia, Bama. I mean, there's a lot of teams you guys are going to be playing over the next couple of months, but curious in your mind, the difference in what non-conference play brings versus what you're about to walk into with the SEC?
Yeah. It's non-conference games are amazing to go against different schools and get those different experiences. SEC play is something that we take pride in, going out there and playing against our guys within our conference, people that are very close to us. And, everybody in the SEC knows everybody, got different friends and different people that play at different schools that they had different encounters with. So just taking pride in going against them and being able to compete amongst the best of the best is certainly something we don't take lightly. We have a great opponent in Arkansas coming into our stadium, and then in Jordan Hare at 2:30, just going out there and wanting to go, put everything on tape and just demonstrate the team that we believe we can be. So we take pride in SEC play. The gauntlet is here, and it's an exciting thing. We're ready to go run through the gauntlet.
You go from one very elusive, very athletic, very explosive quarterback against New Mexico, and no surprise, you get another one this week with Taylen Green at Arkansas. I know we're here kind of in the midweek approaching Saturday day by day, but what can you tell us about this Arkansas offense, one that's been electric so far and one that has a really, really talented quarterback back there?
Yeah, Taylen Green, certainly somebody that's dynamic with his legs. He's certainly somebody that can change the game, break the game open when he's moving out of the pocket, using his legs, and also a dynamic thrower. Certainly somebody that can sit back there and make all the throws on the field, and just has the arm capability to get the ball to different receivers and different spots. So the biggest thing with us is trying to understand rush integrity first and foremost, collapsing the pocket, not giving him escape lanes. And then on top of that, when we have one-on-ones, we have to, close the space with the receivers and make plays on the football. And that's the biggest thing that we need to evaluate and continue to grow upon. Just, making plays at the point, covering the guys is amazing. But finishing at the point of the attack and getting the ball back to our offense, coming away with turnovers, interceptions, and whoever's rushing gets strip sacks, and just different opportunities for our offense to be back on the field. So, their quarterback is certainly a dynamic player, somebody that can really break a game open. So we're excited for that challenge to go against somebody that's elite like that. And the whole Arkansas team, running back as well, has a lot of capabilities to break a game open and is doing a good job. And currently leads the SEC in yards per carry and all-purpose yards. So, just going against that is a challenge in itself, and we're excited and we embrace that challenge.
Yeah, I think you guys did a really, really good job a week ago, I guess this past Saturday against New Mexico, in the run defense. I mean, that was something I know you guys have focused a lot on, and that seemed to be a really, really effective point of attack for the defense. And then even in the passing game, whatever set you guys happen to be in, I mean, forcing a couple of turnovers. I mean, your guy he was named the Pop-Tart Play of the Week. Did you see that with the interception over the back? I mean, what a wild play that was.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart Play of the Week. it's a funny thing, because the Pop-Tart Play of the Week should have not been the Pop-Tart Play of the Week. It was supposed to be, I'm thankful for it, that we got Jaron Thompson was able to make that play. But on the same play, it was a Eugene Asante missed sack. So it was like, man. I'm excited Jaron got that play of the week, and I'm excited for him. But I told him, man, I got to go make those plays in those moments. So.
Yeah, you let him know. You let him know it wasn't even supposed to happen. And a sack can lead to a strip sack, Eugene, and we're still waiting on that, my man. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got to go get an SEC play.
Well, Arkansas coming in this week, and it's another home game for you guys. We talked at the very beginning of the season how five straight home games inside of Jordan-Hare, it cannot be understated. I mean, that's such a big deal. You have another one here and then Oklahoma next week. So many people, a lot of fans like to talk about this and want to get your thoughts as a player here on the classic look-ahead game, right? That seems to be something people talk about all the time. Yes, Oklahoma's a huge game next week. There's a lot of hype around that. There'll be a ton of buzz around town next weekend, but this is a really good Arkansas team. And so does that exist, Eugene? I mean, do look-ahead games happen within the locker room?
Naturally, I would say this. I believe that it's human nature to always look ahead and want to see what's next. When evaluating life, I feel like people are always like, man, what's my next step? What's next? And naturally, I believe that does set in, you know, within locker rooms. And so, like, this is a game, and this next week's going to be a big game, you know? So, I really do think human nature does kick in, but it's on us as players, as people that are in the locker room, to not allow that to seep into our locker room and just try to, you know, go out there and take it one week at a time. Be able to handle everything we need to do this week to put ourselves in the best position to win a football game and be 1-0 that Saturday, and then move on to the next opponent and next opponent. And that's where I see teams really blossom and flourish.
Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante, he joins us every week here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Tigers hosting the Razorbacks of Arkansas to open up SEC play with kickoff at 2:30 inside of Jordan-Hare. I think this is the last week of the brutal heat, my man. I think after this week we start to get a little cooler, but I think it's still going to be a little hot this Saturday.
We're prepared. You know, we've been training. Coach Dom has got us in the sun all summer, just getting our bodies prepared and acclimated to the heat. So we embrace the challenge of the heat. We need everybody in Jordan-Hare Stadium packed out. It's going to be a big game, Arkansas SEC play. So everybody show up and just, you know, support us. We're trying to get this thing rolling.
Boom. I love it. Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante joins us every week here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes.
Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Call to book your next appointment, 334-209-2900. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Brady here with University Ace Hardware. Football season's here, and what better way to experience game day